will be in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, Psalm 16. Some time ago, we looked at some declaratives from David from Psalm 34. And tonight we'll be in Psalm 16. We're going to look at a few more from Psalm 16, verses 7 through 9. Psalm 16, verses 7 through 9. David says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the hymns. And I just ask you to meet with us at this time. As your word is open, just ask you to give me the words to say. Help us to be reminded tonight about the importance of your counsel and how there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We just thank you and praise you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, as we look to Psalm 16 here, we see a theme throughout these three verses of declarations from David. We see I will in verse 7, I have in verse 8, and I shall in verse 8. All of these build upon one another, leading right up into verse 9. And there's a result for David. So we see in verse 7, I will bless the Lord. Well, if we're going to bless the Lord, it'd be helpful to know what it is, what it means. The word bless here in context means to praise, to glorify, for benefits received. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Notice in the definition, it says for benefits received. Now, I tell y'all tonight, not only with others, but more so with God, when someone does something for you or God does something for you, they didn't have to do that. Sometimes we just have to be reminded of that when God does something for us. He didn't have to do it. So be thankful. Even the more thankful when someone does something that they didn't have to do. You've heard the term when you've given someone something, you didn't have to do that. Maybe you've said it yourself. It means so much more when people do things for you and others, not out of a sense of duty or principle, but out of the fact that it was within their heart or within your heart to do it for them. And David is blessing the Lord, his God, for benefits given. Benefit means an act of kindness, a favor conferred. Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we serve a kind God, and we as believers should also be kind one to another. In this particular instance, what was David blessing the Lord for? Emphasis on this next phrase, who hath given me counsel. Remember what counsel means. If you ever been through the Psalm 1 study, but counsel means advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing the judgment or conduct of another. Opinion given upon deliberation or consultation. Now, we won't go into this much tonight, but counsel is important. And who you get counsel from is important because it says right here that counsel is given for a purpose, for directing the judgment or conduct of another. Now, that right alone should highly emphasize the importance of wise counsel and who you get counsel from. Now, I tell you what, I am pretty limited in who I get counsel from. And I have to be as your pastor, because if I let just anybody steer my life and then I'm counseling you, then whoever is steering my life is indirectly steering yours. So I am very particular about who I get counsel from, because I don't want just anybody directing my life. Now, I tell you, in the day of social media, as good as some of it is, oh, man, there's so much bad counsel out there. So much bad counsel. It don't matter who you are. You give them a microphone and they're going to put some stuff out there. It don't matter. Now, to some degree, I like the idea that people have a platform, as where back in the day, if you were going to publish a book or something like that, you had to go through certain channels, and those channels had to approve whether or not, essentially, you should have that right, per se. If they deemed it necessary, or they thought it would be good, or they thought they could make money off of it, then they would publish you. So I like the idea to some degree that people can write a book if that's what they want to do, and people can publish a book if that's what they want to do, and people can have podcasts if that's what they want to do, and webinars and seminars online and all that stuff like that. Yes, I see the benefit of it in a lot of ways. But with that, you get the other side of it. And there is all kinds of bad counsel at everybody's fingertips. Now, we see here in this particular instance, again, that David was blessing the Lord for this who hath given me counsel. Now, remember, counsel is given for a purpose. The purpose is never to be ignored. The purpose is for directing the judgment or conduct of another. That's why it's counterintuitive to get counsel from someone who's trying to get you to do something in particular. You see how it's biased? If I have someone that's trying to get me to do a particular thing, I'm not going to get counsel from them, because their counsel is always going to steer me in the direction of what they would ultimately have for me to do. Always be mindful of who you get counsel from. What is their goal? Now, I am thankful for the counsel of God, because His counsel is always going to steer us in the right way. We can get it from His Word. We can get counsel from our spiritual authorities. By the way, when it comes to counsel, your spiritual authorities are responsible for you and accountable to God for you. They have the most to gain by steering you right. And they also have the most to lose by steering you wrong because of accountability. And those are the ones that you should trust the most. My wife and I, we have a financial advisor, and while we were on the market for such services, several years back, we were advised to find an advisor that makes money when you make money. He'll have your best interest in mind. Because if you get paid, he's getting paid. And the same idea applies to your counsel. When you make good decisions, when you live a righteous and holy life that's pleasing unto the Lord, because you were steered in that direction by biblical counsel from a spiritual authority, the spiritual authority is blessed by God, as you are also blessed by God. See, David was thankful for the counsel of God. The counsel of God served as his reins. Notice the phrase, "My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." Reins means in Scripture the inward parts, the heart or the seat of the affections and passions. When you think of reins, think of a horse. The reins are linked to a bit. A bit is in the horse's mouth. The reins are used to control the horse. But ultimately, the one whose hands are on the reins is controlling the horse. To stop or backwards or left or right is the reins. So in terms of what David is speaking of here, his reins is his heart, and the counsel of God is behind the reins. Now, I think about this. I love wild horses. I like seeing the pictures, the paintings of wild horses. To me, it's the ultimate portrait of freedom yet rebellion. It's a horse that has decided it won't be caught. It won't be bridled. It won't have any reins. It won't have a saddle put on him. He won't be ridden. It won't be tamed. It won't be broken. Now, in horses, that's fine. Stay free if you want. I get it. But when it comes to people, you won't find freedom. You'll find bondage. If you don't submit, if you don't surrender, if you don't surrender your reins, which is your heart, to the control of the Holy Spirit. You don't get the instruction of the Holy Spirit in the night seasons like David did. The word instruct means to direct, to enjoin, to persuade, or admonish. There's a beautiful word in the definition of instruct. The word is enjoin. It means to order or direct with urgency, to admonish or instruct with authority, to command. You know, even in the night seasons, not only do we have precious promises, we also have stern commands from God. We still have our marching orders. Even though the night may be upon us, even though the night may be long, even though spiritually you may feel like you're in Alaska where it's night for 6 months out of the year, but we still have commands from God. We still have His counsel to us, and it instructs us in the night seasons, but we must allow the Lord to be Lord and allow the Lord to work in our lives. Now, we know David did because of his declarative at the beginning of verse 7, I will bless the Lord. Now, remember, why was he blessing the Lord? For His counsel. How many times do we bless somebody for their counsel? How many times do we bless the Lord for His counsel? I know there's been times in my life where the Lord's counsel, a lot of times, where the Lord's counsel went against my counsel to my own self. Where the Lord's counsel went against the counsel that other people might have been giving me. In those times, we don't want to bless the counselor. Not when it goes against what we want to do. Not when it goes against what we have in mind. It's from my own experience. You will not, I emphasize, you will not praise, glorify, and magnify the Lord for counsel that you don't want to receive. So good on David. His response to God indicated what his response to God's wisdom was. His response to bless the Lord indicated what his appreciation level was for God's counsel. Now, there was a time in my life I did not appreciate counsel. And you won't either if you got it in your mind what you're going to do already and you're going to do it no matter what. You won't appreciate counsel. I know a lot of people like that. I've worked with addicts for a lot of years, and I've also worked with people who were a lot like I was when I was away from God. Stubborn, hard-headed, got my mind made up, and it don't matter who you are. The only person in the world that could have changed my mind did, and that was the Lord. It did not matter. It did not matter when I was away from the Lord who it was that told me otherwise. It did not matter. If Chad Hayes did not want to do it, he would not do it. And if I wanted to do it, I would do it, and it did not matter who told me otherwise. I was going to do it. Because that's what I wanted to do. And the Lord had to bring me to the place where He had to break my will. What people told me my whole life needed to happen, and they weren't able to bring it about. But people knew what needed to happen. It was like, your will needs to be broken. And I had people promise me they were going to do it. And their season in my life came to an end. And it didn't happen. But again, the only one that could did. And then I came to the place where, by and large, I was appreciative of God's counsel. What I once decided I did not want. Because it wasn't in line with what I wanted. I had to begin to embrace God's counsel. And I tell you tonight, you need God's counsel in your life. Not your counsel. And that's for me too. I don't need my own counsel. I need the counsel of God in my life. And David knew this. You think of Psalm 13, 1 through 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. When David felt the Lord distant, he took counsel in his own soul rather than the book of the law. Did it help him? No. He had sorrow in his heart daily when he sought counsel within himself. He wasn't victorious or never would be in his mind. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And you've been there. I've been there. It's not good. Has it been? Is it now? Maybe not ever will be. And when you seek out your own counsel instead of the counsel of the Lord, you won't have his instruction to fall back on in the night season. In verse 8, we see that the second declarative, I have set the Lord always before me. When the Lord is before you, you are following his lead. As the hymn says, where he leads, I will follow, follow all the way. I can tell you right now, you will never have what it is that God has for you if you don't follow. Would David have survived the trial and the run from Absalom? Would David have survived the trial and the run from King Saul had the Lord not been before him? Had David not followed the Lord? We've looked at the ups and downs at times in David's life through the dark season. At times he was trusting the Lord. At times he wasn't. At times he believed that God was near. At times he doubted God was near. At times David slept in perfect peace through the night. At times he tossed and turned, restlessness, cried into the night, soaked his pillow with his tears, perhaps through the tolling of anxiety and the pressure of it all. He soaked his bed in sweat. At times he wanted his enemies destroyed. Then at times he wanted them saved. Nobody in the room has gone through more than David did. Yet the overall in David's life was that he was following God. He was going to heed the counsel of God in his life. And it was this instruction in the night seasons that pulled David through. David also says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. One theologian says this, because he is at my right hand. The right hand was regarded as the post of honor and dignity. But it is also mentioned as a position of defense or protection. To have one at our right hand is to have one near us who can defend us. Think of Psalm 109:31. He shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him. Psalm 110, verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Psalm 121:5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. So the idea here is that God is our protector. Don't ever lose sight of that. The Lord is with us moment by moment and day by day. And we must be able to take great comfort in that in an ever-changing world. A world that's growing darker and darker by the day. And for David, there's a result of the Lord being at his right hand. And he states it matter-of-factly. And our last declarative from David for the evening, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Reminds me of the old song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I love the part where it says, anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. David said, I shall not be moved. One theologian says, either from the discharge of my duty or from the attainment of that glory and happiness which is prepared for me. Though the archers shoot grievously at me, and both men and devils seek my destruction, yet I do not despair, but I am assured that God will deliver me out of all my distresses. You think about Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 54:17. I love this first part. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I still believe in deliverance. I believe in deliverance from strongholds. I believe in deliverance from sin's penalty, death, hell, and the grave. I believe in deliverance from the enemies that face us, even if that deliverance is not in the way that would please most of us. If God so chooses death as a means of deliverance, you're still getting delivered. Amen. We still serve a great deliverer. But I believe in deliverance. I believe that the believer and our Father up in heaven gets the victory when opposition arises against us. Now, all of this tonight originates from the counsel of God and heeding His counsel in your life. When you ignore counsel, and I did for a number of years, God will allow pain. He'll allow suffering and judgment in your life as a consequence and an attention getter for not heeding His counsel. And if you want protection, you must abide under the umbrella of protection. At some point, you just get tired of getting hit, and you get back under the umbrella. You get out from under that umbrella of protection, and then because of sin, you got the consequences of sin, and the consequences of sin is dropping on you like rain left and right. You're just living in it. Get back under that umbrella. You do that by, through heeding wise counsel. When you don't, God allow things in your life. They'll hurt. It'll cause pain. But if it didn't, we'd never learn. I'm here today behind this pulpit, not because when I was away from God, He coddled me. Not because He laid my head, figuratively speaking, in His lap and rubbed my head and made me feel comfortable. Not because He enabled me. Not because He made me comfortable in sin. I'm here today because God wouldn't let me go without a fight. Amen. I'm here today because God made me miserable. Amen. When I was away from Him. Amen. I'm here today because I had no rest in my spirit. Amen. I had no rest in my mind. I had no peace in my heart. I had no satisfaction in my life. I didn't care if I lived or died. I had no hope in my present life, and I had no hope in my future destination, future direction. I was at a loss. I had no answers. Nothing was right or going right. Why? Because I did not heed counsel. And when I look back, I could think of many ways that I could describe myself and what I could have been thinking. Like, how crazy. I mean, I could just go down a list of adjectives to describe me. But I look out at times in the ministry, and I look out in the world, and I see people doing the same exact thing. You see it all the time. And it's promoted. Among certain groups, rebellion is just highly promoted. Highly promoted. You just see stuff all the time. All the time. I don't even remember. But there was a shirt, and it was on the back of it. And basically the gist of it, they're a god to themselves. They don't surrender to nobody and not following nobody. And just following themselves. That's what they're doing, just following themselves. They're a god to themselves. They want to know something, they consult themselves. Get counsel from within. It's really humanism, just being a god to themselves. Some people's theme songs at Frank Sinatra, "When I Did It My Way," they end up in hell. You do it your way if that's what you want to do, and you'll wake up in hell. You do it your way. There's a lot of people, that's their theme song. Even some people in politics that we would esteem very highly. One of them just got elected. That's his song. "I Did It My Way." Well, that's something to be known for. Do it your way. But we should choose to do it God's way. Why did I find myself in this place? Because I didn't heed counsel. And I left the protections of my Heavenly Father. Now, because of that, I'm more sensitive than a lot of people when it comes to God's will. Because I've been out of God's will. And being out of God's will scares me to the place of losing sleep at night. Because I've been there. That's a place I never want to go back to. I told Caesarea this on the way out, trying to console them. Pastor was moving on, Lord moving me on, moving my family on. And I think they knew it. I think they believed me. I just told them, I said, I cannot be out of God's will. I cannot. And to stay, I would be out of God's will. And it shouldn't be a people's desire. Even if the pastor stood up before you and said, it's not God's will for me to be here anymore, I'd hope the people would stand up and say, you know what, if it's not God's will for you to be here anymore and you don't want to do anything about it, we're going to help you do something about it. Because we want God's will for this place. That's what it has to be. But most men of God that I know who are truly men of God, they're seeking the Lord's will. And that's what they care about at the end of the day. And at times you're going to have difficult decisions, and at times you're going to have to do certain things, and at times you're going to walk when you don't want to, and you're going to have to run when you don't want to run, and you're going to have to sit down when you don't want to sit down. Life's going to be filled with stuff you do that you don't want to do, and things that you don't want to do that you do, when God's will is at your core. And David was safest in the center of God's will. Sometimes I wonder, and this don't go nowhere with it if it don't make no sense to you. But sometimes I wonder how many out there, men of God, who got caught up in some kind of mess because they were somewhere they never should have been to begin with, and God wouldn't have put them there. He'd have put them somewhere else. But because they went somewhere where they never should have been to begin with, they got caught up in something. Had they not been there, it wouldn't have happened. And I tell you what, I am scared to be out of God's will. I'm scared to be out of it because I don't know what's lurking around out there. And if I'm out of God's will, I find my... Think about David. David wasn't supposed to be at home. He'd have never met that woman. He'd never seen that woman had he been where he was supposed to be. He'd have never even seen her. Or at least not at that time. But there he was, wrong place, wrong time, and everything that happens as a result of wrong place, wrong time is a result of wrong place, wrong time. Had you not been in the wrong place at the wrong time, none of the other mess happens. David, not where he's supposed to be, out of God's will, and look what happens to him. And sometimes I just wonder, if sometimes things don't befall us because we're not where we're supposed to be anyway. And I didn't want that to be me. I believe I'm the safest in God's will. I believe my family, my wife, my kids are the safest in God's will. I can't help but think also that there are some people that have gone through some horrible situations, even pastor family, in churches. Wives, kids, devastated after the fact. Sometimes I can't help but wonder if they should have never been there to begin with. But because they went, and because they went there, maybe it's a result of not going with God. And I was scared of that. When I was living, I was scared, the most scared I've been in my life in a long time was when I knew the Lord was moving us away from Caesarea, but he hadn't revealed a place yet. I had comfort there. I had stability there. I knew the people there. The only people I didn't know was the ones that walked in off the street. And I tell you what, it's easier to keep an eye on 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 people than you do everybody because you don't know anybody. Once you get to know the sheep, then you're like, okay, the only ones you got to keep an eye on really are the visitors. The ones you don't know. Had comfort there, stability there. It was the scariest thing we've ever done. My wife testified, scariest thing we've done. But we just had to rest in the fact that we could trust the Lord. Step by step, we could trust Him and we could walk with Him. And David knew he was at his safest in the center of God's will. And how was he in the center of God's will? By heeding the counsel of God. You're going to end up where God would have you to go if you're following Him. I have people all the time, they tell me, I'm worried about going back. I'm worried about going back into my sin. I'm worried about going back where I used to be, doing the things I used to do, and getting with them people that I used to be with. And I said, just grab a hold of the Lord's hand and get to walking. He won't lead you back to it. The only way you're going to go back to it is if you let go of His hand and you take your life into your own hands again, and you're going to be right back where you was when He found you. But if you grab a hold of His hand and you walk with Him, He's only going to lead you to the right places, to the right people, to doing the right things, away from everything that He wouldn't have you doing. Away from everyone that He wouldn't have you running with. And really, it's as simple as that, but as hard as that. If that makes sense. It's that simple, but it's hard to walk with the Lord. It is. It's hard to walk with Him. It's not easy. It's not easy. Our flesh gets in the way. The devil seeks to interfere. It never surprises me when the Lord begins to work and I see the devil coming right alongside. Never surprises me. I've seen it so many times in the ministry. The Lord begins to work. Begins to work in families. Begins to do miraculous things. Things that only God can do. And the devil will find any way that he can to get in. And then we sit back and this, that, and other. We got 15 different ways that we'd like to try and pin the blame, but really at the end of the day, it just comes down to the devil got in. And I believe the Lord's working. I believe the Lord's working in our church. I believe the Lord's working in people's lives. So you can come to anticipate that the devil is going to be working. He is already working. He's already working. I've seen the Lord's hand. Every time I see the Lord's hand, I see the devil's hand. So as I've seen the Lord's hand here, I've also seen the devil's hand in these 2 months that I've been here. The devil's always trying to counter what God is doing. The devil's always reactive to what God is doing. God does something and the devil reacts. Take a step forward with the Lord. Take a step forward in this way, and the devil wants you to go backwards in other ways. But that's the ministry. In some ways, it reminds us that we have a foe. There is a silver lining to it. Because when we recognize and we're reminded of the fact that we have a foe, that does something to us. It's a good reminder. And sometimes, as crazy as it may sound for me to say and for you to hear, sometimes it's a good reminder because we get complacent. And there have been times where the attack has been so relentless. It's like the devil whispered in my ear, "You get away from God and I'll leave you alone." And yeah, the devil will, because he'll have you right where he wants you. But then you got God to deal with. And I would rather have the devil to deal with than God to deal with. because the devil's power is checked. And if God wants to do something, the devil ain't able to do nothing to stop what God's going to do. The devil can't take my life unless the Lord allow it. And if the Lord wanted to take me home, the devil can't do nothing to stop it. Just be reminded of these things tonight and the importance of heeding counsel. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time.